You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about emotionally confusing relationships. Do you feel as though you're on a roller coaster when it comes to your relationship? You know, tonight I'm going to be discussing the characteristics of an emotionally confusing relationship and what you need to be aware of. You know, there's certain safeguards that you need to take, and I'm going to be talking about that later. But right now, let's talk about the characteristics of a confusing and emotionally draining relationship. Because I know that we've all been there before, and some of us are currently in a relationship like that right now. Are you? Are you in a relationship that has you feeling out of control, insecure, not knowing what's going to happen next, always wondering, walking on eggshells, feeling like you're going absolutely insane? I mean, I've been in those relationships before where you feel like you're taking total crazy pills. Like something's in the water. I've lost my mind. Okay. Some of us might actually feel more like I've lost my mojo. Right. And some people might just say I've lost it all. Completely gone. Nothing here. I'm a shell of a person right now. And I don't even know if I should laugh or if I should cry. And a lot of us have been in these relationships. Some of us have walked away. Some of us have stayed in them. And some of us have found a new one just like it. It's amazing. It's funny how we as humans sometimes have a tendency of following certain patterns. But it's not until we realize the pattern can we do something about it. We're going to be talking about that later on as well. Because once you have the knowledge you need to see things clearly, you are allowed to then make a correct and justified decision. Do you see what I'm saying? So, for example, if something's going on in your life and you're not really able to know how to define it, maybe, or how to honestly understand where you are, it's almost impossible to make a decision that's helpful. You know, it's interesting. It's like when you do some investigation and you start realizing things about various topics and various subjects and interests, and it's so cool. And you go, wow, it's like my broaden my horizons. I feel so expansive. I feel so, I don't know, like open-minded. Like I feel like I know a lot more than I did. I feel a lot more educated. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We're doing it in a funny and serious way, though, because when you're in a relationship that's emotionally taxing, that you feel like you are on a roller coaster ride, it's not fun. In the beginning, it is intriguing. In the beginning, it's titillating. In the beginning, it's sexually satisfying for some. In the beginning, it's something new, something erotic, something different, because you're like, wow, this is something that I've never experienced before. This is so interesting. It's so new. It's so interesting. It's got me on edge a little bit. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is that sometimes these emotionally taxing and confusing relationships start off very, very sexy, very cutting edge. You know, like you feel like you're all alive. And then after a few weeks, you start feeling like you're crazy. Like they stop really being who they were. And all of a sudden you're starting to wonder, is it me? Is it them? Is this what really happened? So let's start our conversation. Because I think in order for us to understand if we're on a roller coaster type relationship and if we're in an emotionally confusing relationship, we have to understand the signs, the characteristics, you might say, about what is a pinpoint, this is definitely an emotionally taxing relationship, what you need to know, and the things that you can't really get around. So the first thing is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in any relationship is a big time problem. And it's a big problem, and it's a big item, a big ticket item, you might say, in an emotionally taxing relationship, because it leaves the other person confused and off center and off target, because it's okay if they do something, but it's not okay if you do. I mean, they might even lie about doing something. You might even think they're doing something, but they're like so hypocritical about it. It can even be something small. Like, let's take, for example, something small, because it might not be actually cheating. Like you were on a break and somebody cheated. And if they thought you had done that, you know, all hell would have broken loose. It could be something as simple as you're both out together at a bar, hanging out. Things are okay. Things are good. A couple of months in, and you make just a silly joke. You make, let's just say, a silly kind of childish middle school level joke, right? And it's funny, and it's not ill-intended. It's just funny. And instead of laughing or kind of like, oh, that's funny, they're like, why are you so childish? I mean, do you really have to be like that? Or just totally like look at you like you're crazy, you know, and literally like kind of put you down. Like, why do you have to be like that? You're so childish. You really need to grow up. But then they turn around and do the same thing later. And if you're not laughing and head over heels, they start pouting. They get very angry because it's okay if they do it, but it's not okay if you. There's a different level of standards when you're dealing with an emotionally confusing relationship. And that first thing is hypocrisy. I can go out all night, but if you do, there's a problem. It's almost like, well, it's not almost like, it's a control factor. Do you understand what I'm saying? So do as I say, not as I do. In that situation, it means that do what they tell you to do. Don't really watch what they're doing. It's nothing to see over here. Nothing going on over here, really. Just look back over there and check out what's happening over there. There looks like there's a clown and a little puppy. Seriously. I mean, how many times have you been in a relationship? I have been in some of these where the hypocrisy is so thick. It's like yesterday's queso. You know how queso has that big kind of gross, cheesy film on the top when they bring it out. It's been like cooking under the lights for a while and they've been waiting to serve it to you. And like the first time you put the chip in there, like the chip breaks off into the queso bowl and it's like as cold can be. Okay. That's how thick hypocrisy can be when it comes to certain relationships. When you have people that want to control so much that they'll do whatever they want to do, find it however right they have to find it, and turn around and blame you. Also, people that have a lot of hypocrisy in their life, they have a tendency of doing things and claiming that the only reason they had to do that was because of how you treated them, what you did to them. You drove them, Ashley, can you say drove? You drove them, right, to cheat. Or you drove them to drink. It's your problem that I drink 15 drinks a night, okay? It's all about you. You're the one that stresses me out. You're the one that pushes me into it. Hypocrisy is an interesting thing. It's about control. And if you are in an emotionally confusing relationship, you might feel out of control. You might even feel changed. And what I mean is that maybe your personality is slowly becoming different. Maybe your humor is starting to maybe go away. I mean, it's interesting when we're in an emotionally problematic relationship, we have a tendency of feeling like we're walking on eggshells. You make a couple of comments because they did it to you, but because of hypocrisy, they take it wrong, they get upset, they sulk. Maybe they don't call for a whole week to prove a point. You know, maybe a step further is to make a plan for a date for the next Saturday, and all the way up to Saturday, you don't hear from them. Nothing. You finally, on Friday, decide to call. No answer. You text, nothing. Saturday comes along, still nothing. An hour after the date was supposed to begin, nothing. You try to call them again, nothing. The following day, hey, what's going on? Hope you're okay. Have a great day. Now, that's an interesting concept because that's about control, because they want to see how far they can push you. Do you see what I'm saying? Because most people wouldn't accept that. Most people, men and women, would have called and said, hey, you know what? We made a date for Saturday. It's Friday. I haven't heard from you. I'm going to go on and like make other plans. Probably should have made plans, other plans on Thursday, but you know, I'm going to go on and make other plans. Because that's a whole game playing control factor. Now, if you had done that, that would be a problem. If you had disrespected them in such a way that you didn't bother calling and you didn't bother being there and you didn't bother setting things up and being there, that would be a distinct problem. Maybe even grounds for a breakup, or definitely grounds for not talking to you for a couple weeks, perhaps going outside of the relationship, perhaps seeing other people. It's interesting how hypocrisy and emotionally draining, controlling relationships can go downhill so quickly. Stay tuned. We return to me talking more about those characteristics of the relationships, including the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. or Mrs. Hyde characteristic, as well as what you can do to deal with this type of emotionally confusing relationship. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Do you feel as though you're on a roller coaster when it comes to your relationship? You know, tonight I'm discussing the characteristics of emotionally confusing relationships and what you honestly need to be aware of. You know, earlier before the break, I was talking about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is one of the main concepts, one of the main characteristics of an emotionally confusing relationship. Reason being, it's a control factor. I'm allowed to do this, and you are not allowed to do this. Don't even think about doing this. Don't even think that this is an option. Do as I say, not as I do. Be the angel. I can be the devil. I can do whatever I want to. If we were on a break, then it was okay. Or you might actually have suspicions. And the suspicions are probably maybe close to right. And I'm not saying that's every time, but I'm saying that when you start having suspicions and it seems that somebody's being hypocritical, you got to sit back and kind of understand, or think and clearly understand where you are in this relationship. Okay, so past hypocrisy, which really allows for more confusion, and it gets people off center because you don't know what's up or is down or down is up. You don't know where your head begins and your butt ends. Because all of a sudden, it's like the stories keep changing. And things keep getting said differently. Or things that they do, they'll turn around and make fun of you for doing. Oh, I can't believe you did that. Why would you do something that stupid? You know? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Or the concept of always comparing you. Like, I've been around people in relationships where they're constantly comparing. Like, oh, wow. Man, look how beautiful she is. She's got to be about 6 foot. Wow, what are you, 4'3"? Oh, man, look how voluptuous that woman is. I mean, it's too bad you're kind of more like a boy. Think about it. And it's interesting, if you were to do that same thing to them, that would be World War III. That would be the end all of the relationship. There would be no more relationship. Or they would be broken down crying on the side of the road as you help them pick up their self-esteem. But see, when you're in a relationship that's hypocritical in nature, that's what you're going to get. And if you're not willing to accept it, then you got to get out. If you're willing to accept it, then you're stuck in it full force. And whether that's good or bad is to be determined. You know, the second characteristic of an emotionally confusing relationship, one of my favorites actually, is the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. or Mrs. Hyde. You know, it's like this dead split in behaviors. They split into behaviors and different demeanors. It's like, I don't know, it's a dead giveaway that you're in an emotionally problematic relationship. When someone goes from being this wonderful, dedicated person that just loves you and loves being with you and is just so happy, or just, you know, just a normal person that's going about it, doing their thing, to this totally angry, dark, depressive, oppressive person. I mean, it's just such a jump. And I've been there before in a relationship like that where I didn't know what to expect. I'd walk in the door and I would be all happy and they'd be like, shh, just keep it down. You're getting on my last nerve. Just calm down, Ashley. And I'd be like, what's going on? I had a bad day. I've had a really bad day. Your life is just so easy breezy. And you my life, come on, it ain't easy breezy. Okay? But you don't even argue, though, because if you argue, then that starts another storm. And so you're stuck there going, what do you do? And so the next time you come in, maybe you feel like that was all, things like that happen. And then a couple days later, same thing. And so guess what? The third time you see them, after the first time that was just, a storm, and the second time which was another poop storm, you walk in kind of meek this time. Hey, what's wrong with you? What, are you in a down mood? Because I don't need anybody in a down mood around me. I'm in a great mood. I've had a great day. What's going on? And then you're all there going, oh my gosh. And you don't know what to expect. It becomes this eggshell, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Mrs. Hyde thing going on. You don't know what to do. Sometimes it can seem, kind of attractive in a way. Because, we all like those bad boys or bad girls sometimes. And we have a tendency of not realizing that a lot of that behavior is emotional triggers from childhood that needs to be mentally and emotionally worked through before that individual can walk into a relationship and have adequate emotional stability. Straight up honest from the Burgess Gospel right there. Think about it. A lot of people out there need to get their head fixed and their emotions fixed before they can even think about having a relationship. And a lot of us overlook that because we assume, oh, they're fine, they're great, they're good, but we don't ever think about the fact that, maybe this person isn't all completely there. Maybe they're dealing with an emotional baggage, not even from their last relationship, because a lot of us like to sit there and think, oh, well, this all came from their last wife, or this all came from their last boyfriend, or their last husband, or the last girlfriend. And so this is what we're going through right now, is the baggage from the last relationship. And you needed to let go of that baggage from that last relationship. You know what? It probably had nothing to do with that last relationship. The breakup did have to do with baggage, but it had to do with baggage from previous. And all of a sudden, now you get to be the bearer of baggage. You get the gift that keeps on giving the whole lifetime, as long as you want to stick in it. And it becomes this emotionally confusing, ravishing relationship that literally takes away from your ability to love and to be yourself. You begin to feel, like you don't know what to expect. And with the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Mrs. Hyde, you actually begin to feel crazy. The more you're around a person like this, the more you begin to question yourself. So think about this. When was the last time that you pretty much knew that you had it all together? Life was good. You have a good control your faculties, you're emotionally strong and steady, and a relationship completely made you feel like somebody had put you in one of those ninja blenders, turned it on hyperspeed, turbo speed, you went in that for about an hour, and then they stopped it, and then they took the juicer thing out, and they threw you out. And you're supposed to sit there and you're trying to stand up and you've fallen down and you can't figure out what to do and you can't get your footing. And before you can actually get back on solid ground, the blender thing happens again because you're around the same person again, going through the whole deal of the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And for all you men out there that have a feeling that you know what I'm talking about, it's when you literally go out of your way to do something and you did it altruistically and you love doing it, but in the same right, you get home or you get to your girlfriend's or back to y'all's house and your wife or your girlfriend goes off on you completely for no reason. Screaming, yelling, throwing things. Or the opposite. Sulking, crying in a back room, all the lights off, going through this certain type of behavior. And you're over there like, I came home with food and flowers. I've done nothing wrong. It's not like you've done anything wrong. You actually came home at a nice time and you had a great dinner. Everything was planned. And all of a sudden this happens. It's interesting on the same account. Take the same situation. where you don't bother calling and you show up at home and maybe you've had a couple to drink at the office. You know, you left the office with some of your coworkers, you had a few to drink, didn't bother calling the lady, didn't bother calling the wife, didn't bother calling the girlfriend. You get home and they're so happy to see you. You're like, oh man, I thought I was going to take a beating tonight. Mixed signals. Mixed emotional signals is what this is. For all you women out there, you know what I'm talking about. For your husband or for your boyfriend, you make dinner at home. You go home and early and you create an amazing dinner and you're so proud of it. Maybe pour a little glass of wine. You set up the table. You got some music going, you know. You got the dog a bone so he's not going to bark or beg through dinner. Got the TV off with some music on the satellite. Maybe some light classical or, I don't know, some Sinatra, actually. And he shows up, and he's in an angry mood. He has nothing to do with dinner, goes upstairs and pouts. You try to talk with him, he doesn't want to talk. And I mean, I understand that sometimes people have bad days, and I'm not saying that you can't have a bad day. I'm not saying that you can't have a day at work or a bad day that just upsets you and you want to just sit in bed. But for the most part, people communicate. I had a client a few months ago come in and ask me what I thought about spousal abuse. And I said, physical spousal abuse. And they said, yes. And they said, isn't that common? I said, common amongst unhealthy relationships, yes, but not healthy. And the same applies for healthy versus unhealthy relationships. In an unhealthy relationship, you don't talk things over. I agree that you might take a few minutes of time to compose yourself and say, hey, honey, I've had a really rough day. And, you know, dinner looks really great. And you know what? I'm going to go upstairs for about 5, 10, 20 minutes. I'm going to just decompress for a second. I'm going to wash my face. I'm going to change into something a little more comfortable, some sweatpants or what have you. And when I come back downstairs, I'm going to be good, but I'm just going to need a moment from you. Now that, to me, that's healthy. The unhealthy is running up the stairs, screaming, running up the stairs, crying, moping, slamming the door on your spouse, telling them to go step off, and causing a big scene. And that, to me, is not healthy at all. Healthy is communication. Healthy is explaining. Healthy is being there. And that's something we'll talk about later. So when we return, we'll be talking more about the characteristics that you will see if you're in a relationship that's more like a roller coaster, as well as what you can do, what you can actually do to come to terms and to be aware of in this particular relationship style. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, do you feel that you're in a roller coaster type relationship? You know, tonight we're talking about emotionally confusing relationships and what you need to be aware of. You know, earlier in the hour, we talked about hypocrisy and how in a lot of these relationships, one person is a total and complete hypocrite. Whatever they do is allowed. Whatever you do is not. They're allowed to get away with murder. You're not. And if they catch you, there's going to be hell to pay, honestly. And it's interesting because if you bring up something about what they've done or you try to bring up the truth of the matter, they're going to squash you and they're going to turn it around on you and they're going to explain that the reason why they did that to you is because of you. And I think that anybody that's been in a relationship like that or is in one right now knows that you start to feel crazy because they actually tell you that the reason why they screwed up or they did what they did was based on the fact that you weren't good enough. And you start buying into it. Instead of a normal person going, wait a second, I didn't turn you that way. I didn't make you that way. But yet you're going to hold that over me. And for most of the time, people that are hypocritical have been able to control people. They've always picked a man or a woman that they can control, somebody that's a little more insecure. And so if you have more security and you're, in a sense, more powerful, they're going to try to break you down even faster. And they're going to try to take piece for piece, pound for pound, and they're going to try to make it where you don't even know what's day and what's night, what your head or your butt is. I swear to you, that's what happens in these roller coaster type relationships. The next thing we talked about was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. and Mrs. Hyde. You know, the whole dead split behavior, the whole demeanor has changed. They go from being this wonderful, amazing person to like the spawn of the devil. And it happens off and on here and there when you're not expecting it. You have created the best situation. For example, a man or woman, you've created a wonderful romantic night and the person shows up, they don't want anything to do with it. They're completely hypercritical. They don't want to talk to you. They're upset with you. You've done something wrong. Now, let's step back and look at this from an observer. If I was to walk in that and literally freeze frame the situation of what's going on, and you've cooked this dinner, you've created this romantic night, and this person is literally going crazy, when you're not in it, it's so obvious. It's like hyper obvious. It's like you can see it. It's like 3D. But when you're in it, because of the mind games, the latent mind games that are being played, and let me tell you, in a roller coaster relationship, they're being played all the time, okay? One person usually is doing a game playing, unless both people are. And if both people are doing the game playing, then I'll be doing a show about that in the future. But right now, we're talking about the one person that feels a little like they're losing their mind. Things don't seem that right. Everything was great until you start feeling more insecure. You start thinking about the relationship at work more. During the day, you're actually going piecemeal by piecemeal through various text messages and emails, wondering exactly what are they trying to get to? What are they trying to say? Or better yet, I haven't heard from her or I haven't heard from him in days. It's been days. We were supposed to have a date. That came and went. You know, and it's interesting how you keep going back. And that's something we want to talk about as well. So the third characteristic of a emotionally taxing roller coaster relationship is that you know something's up. You know they've done something. You know that something's wrong. You know there's an elephant in the room, but you cannot pinpoint it. You see the extremes in behavior, the distance that they put between you and them, the shutting you out. And you're trying to figure out what's going on. You need to know more about the relationship, but the more that you try to learn, the more confused you become. This is always an interesting concept when it comes to emotionally charged roller coaster type relationships, is wanting to know the right answer, wanting to know specifically what actually happened and trying to put your finger on it and wanting to know so bad that you're willing to go through hell and back to find out. And the funny thing is that you'll never really know, but don't you always know? Did you hear that? You'll never really know, but don't you always know? You do. I mean, if you have listened to your inner self talk at all, some people call it your higher self, some people call it instinct. If your instinct has been right 95% of the time, if your instinct has been right 85% of the time, and you still have this nagging thing that you know something's not right and you're trying to pinpoint it, you don't have to get all the clues for the murder mystery, okay? You don't have to sit there and go find the bloody sleeve. You don't have to go sit there and find the murder weapon. But you should be able to sit there with some sort of clarity and say, okay, I don't know the answer to these questions. I don't know exactly what's up, but I know this isn't beneficial to my health. I know that this is not working for my health. And think about it, because it's interesting how when we get in these emotionally charged, roller coaster, not healthy relationships, we have a tendency of going back in for more. And why do you think that is? I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. It's because it's so different. We don't know what to expect. And we as humans like that sometimes. We like that. We like to not know. We like to be surprised. But the problem is that it's kind of a negative, self-actualizing surprise. We're never getting anything out of it except for heartbreak and resentment later on and more baggage that you're going to have to deal with, like somebody like me as your therapist, to go through. Because the thing is that we like kind of the tantalizing, the edgy, the on-fire type fuego relationship. But why is it a crazy relationship? Because it's not all right. Because there's a lot of game playing involved. Because there's a lot of control issues. Think about it. A lot of us understand that there's a lot of control issues in our relationships, and we know that it comes from somewhere. So let's talk a little bit of background about where control comes from. When people are hyper controlling in a relationship, they're hyper controlling because they need to control something in their world. Okay. For example, if a parent is hyper controlling, overly controlling of their child, they're doing it because they feel as though their life is out of control. Okay. And the child is significantly younger and more needy than said parent. Now, let's think about the control factors in childhood. So you have a mom and you have a dad. Most of us do. Not all of us, but some of us. Some of us have two moms. Some of us have two dads. Some of us have just a mom. Some of us have just a dad. Some of us were raised by grandparents or aunts or uncles. Some of us were in foster care. Some of us have adopted family. Okay. So that alone has a plethora of different perspectives alone. However, let's talk about the dynamic between mom and dad. Okay. The dynamic between mom and dad and the child is inherently important. How much love the child feels like they got. How much support. How much was the dad around? How much was the mom around? Was there a lot of codependency issue? Was there a lot of enmesh? Was there a lot of, you know, emotions and boundary issues being kind of erased and moved by mom and son, mom and daughter, father and son, father and mother? Think about that. And at a young age, when we go through these types of things, we don't really realize the impact that it might have on our future life. So let me give you an example real quick, because this is something that I think might shine a little light into why people do what they do. So for boys, when mom, let's say like mom is single, let's say mom's either married or mom's been divorced or mom's single, and the little boy sees mom have a lot of different men come over to the house and maybe walked in on a few situations that were pretty R-rated, pretty X-rated possibly, seeing mom in a compromising position with various different men. Now, at the time, the child doesn't really realize what's happening, but you have to understand that because we, at that age, have to make kind of a decision, because that's just the way our mind works at that age, that we have to make a decision, and that decision sticks with us as adults unless we work with it. So one decision could be son sees mom, compromising positions, lots of different guys. Could be two, could be three, could be 10, could be 15 guys. He either makes a decision that what mom is doing is okay, and that's the way you're supposed to live, and that's all right. And he ends up becoming very promiscuous, bedding lots of women, constantly having sex, because that's okay, because that's what mom did, and that's what he was shown to do. And he took that lead because he didn't want to see his mom as a bad person, so he saw his mom as legitimately whatever you could do. The second side of the coin is that the son sees the mom in these situations, these sexual situations, okay? And instead of accepting that is okay, he sees it as wrong. And he gets very angry about it. And he sees his mom as a whore, a slut. And so from then on out, as he's having sex and he's having relationships with women, as he gets older, and that's, and he's allowed to at that point in time, at that age, he begins to see women as objects, sex objects, slutty. And he takes control of those situations and he sees women as that. And because he sees them as objects and not humans, he objectifies them. Not only does he objectify them, he treats them very poorly. The closer that they get to him, the more he pushes them away. He can have sex with absolutely every woman, any woman, and that's his first response in any relationship, is to have sex. But if he gets closer to a woman before they have sex, he might not be able to actually perform. And so that's a little bit of a background about how the importance of a mother-son relationship is. Sometimes you have kids that mothers actually look to their kids for all the attention, everything. And this can impact a child to a large degree. And I'm not saying that you can't get over these childhood issues. You can work to get over them. You can go through treatment. You can go through therapy. And as long as you acknowledge the fact that you have an issue, you can get help. And I know that you're probably listening for this for a friend's position as well. So think about it. You have friends that are in these relationships where they're constantly telling you about how bad the relationship is, about how it's such a roller coaster, about how they feel out of control, and you're always constantly giving them advice. It's like sometimes you just get tired of it. You're like, dude, okay? I mean, we've been talking about this for a really long time. And you still are stuck in this relationship, and this isn't good. And I've given you the advice, and I've helped as much as I can, but really? And you know what I'm talking about because you go, why are they in this relationship? Well, in these relationships, a lot of times people get into these relationships because it reminds them of something from childhood. If you were controlled a lot by one of your parents or both parents, and you enter a relationship that person's very controlling of you, that seems normal place. To the outside looking in, it seems ludicrous. However, it's a normal place for you. It's normal to be uncomfortably controlled because that's normal. For other people, that would be unacceptable. And so that's what we're talking about because this is what's so important when we're talking about the characteristics of a roller coaster, non-really working, painful relationship is that these extremes in behavior, the distancing, the shutting you out, needs to be pinpointed. When you see that happening, when you feel it happening, why? And a lot of times there's no real concrete reason why. Not one. That's why it leaves you feeling a little insecure, confused. Why is this happening? You know, an easy example is when somebody starts dating, two people start dating each other. And everything's going great and they're constantly going out on dates and one person's constantly calling and everything's going well. And all of a sudden, one day, drop in communication. Nothing. Maybe you eventually text and they respond with K. Just the letter K, not okay. Or the better one nowadays. I think this is the 2015 total riff. Sounds good. Sounds good. I wrote you a text message. How does that sound good? I mean, it looks good. It could be looks good. It doesn't sound good. I mean, what does it sound good for? I mean, that's kind of like the blow-off response of, I'm not really interested, but it sounds okay for you. And so there you are, you're going through this process, and all of a sudden you hit this, like, kind of rock, this stopping point. And it's like you can hear a pin drop. And then all of a sudden, a week or two later, it's just like nothing ever happened. And you see them, and you go out, and over the conversation, nothing's said. And the crazy thing about it is that they never bring it up. And if you bring it up, well, it's a fight. And for some reason, though, what's weird about it is that you're not going to bring it up. Why? Because you know they're not going to fess up to it. Subconsciously, you know that you're in a relationship that's not working. And you don't even really need the answers. You just know that it's not working. Stay tuned. We return on me talking about how you can actually deal with the situation, the questions that you should ask yourself, and how to understand if you're in a roller coaster type relationship. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about if you feel as though you're in a roller coaster type relationship. You know, a lot of us can be in emotionally confusing relationships and we don't know really what to do. We're not aware of the signs and characteristics to know that we're in a relationship that's a roller coaster. Think about it. A lot of us don't realize it because we don't know these things. It's not like you go out there and go, okay, I need the signs and I need the characteristics of what it means to be in a bad relationship or what it means for me to be on guard. Maybe I'm not in the right relationship. Maybe I need to know more. And so the first thing we talked about was hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is one of those things that we deal with when people are trying to say that they're allowed to do things and you're not. Talked about that earlier, as well as the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. or Mrs. Hyde, the split personality type thing, where you go from being dealing with somebody that's totally happy to totally loves to be with you to wants nothing to do with you, puts as much distance between you two, and I don't know, just you're totally confused with what's going on and everything's happening almost within the same minute or two. The third thing is that there's something up, there's something wrong, but you just can't seem to put your finger on it. Have you ever been there before where you just can't seem to put your finger on it? You can't pinpoint it. Extremes in behavior, you know, distance, shutting you out. You just don't know why. And it's emotionally confusing in relationships a lot of times because it's just extremes. You're not expecting it. As well as you don't know how to take it. And you wonder, is it all about me? Is it something I did? Maybe it's something I said. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe work was pretty bad. You know what? I just need to give them some space. But it keeps happening over and over and over and over and over again. And eventually you're kind of like, well, okay. And it gets confusing. Why is this happening? And we start taking an ownership of it because we don't realize it. Because as kids, we always wanted to be people pleasers. Wanted to people please everybody all the time, anytime, all the time. And because we wanted to people please, we had a tendency of when somebody is not happy, we take it personally. Oh, Jessica's not happy. Okay, I wonder what I can do to make it better. I mean, think about your birthday party, even as a kid and even now. I mean, some of y'all don't even celebrate birthdays because you're scared that other people aren't having fun. Oh, God, I'm just a little overwhelmed. I did a show last week on that, about talking about birthdays, about how sometimes birthdays can be overwhelming to people because they invite all these people and they want to make sure people are having fun, but it like gets away from being their birthday. And it's like a lot of times because we are people pleasers, when somebody's not happy, we think it's something we did. Is there something I can change? Is there something I can correct? Is there something that I can do for you to make you happy? And that's one of the biggest misnomers of relationships is that you can make someone else happy. You can't. So stop doing it. You can't make someone else happy because they got to do it themselves. It's like a bottomless pit. If you keep giving in to somebody that's never happy and you're always trying to give them something, you're only giving of yourself to the point where there is nothing. It's like the idea of the person that literally, you never know how to take them. And one day you walk in and they're in a great mood. The next day they're in a bad mood. The next day they're in a worse mood. And it keeps on going. You feel like you're walking on glass. And eventually your sense of humor goes completely away. Your sense of self goes away too because, oh, well, maybe I just need to be a little less this or a little less that. And all of a sudden, the more you do that, the more your flame dies down. And you don't think that that's a little bit on purpose? You don't think that trying to take the spotlight off of you a little bit? You just think that everything's just, oh, you know, they don't know any better. And think about this. When you're dealing with a controlling person that's hypocritical, that changes their personality on a dime, they do this for a reason, to keep you confused, to keep you guessing, to keep you in the game. Think about it. Us humans like to play games. We love to get some clues. We love all those little games like Clue and all that stuff. It interests us so much. All these CSI shows based on clues and crimes. Think about it. You're in a wacky relationship that's like a roller coaster. You want to see how it ends. I want to ride that twice. Let's keep going. Woo! Maybe the ride will break down this time and I'll get thrown from the seat and maybe die in some wreckage or something. Yeah! Think about it. So some of the things that you can begin to ask yourself, and I think that anytime that we ask ourselves personal questions, it really helps us to formulate a clarity, helps us to understand where we stand at, helps us to be better people, really. What's keeping you in this relationship? What is keeping you in this relationship? Think about it. Is it you? Is it them? Is it the interest? Is it the intrigue? Is it the drama? Is it because you just want a relationship no matter what? You just want company? You just want somebody there, a warm body? Think about it. Honestly, give yourself some clarity on why you're in this relationship right now, because that will formulate what you need to do. I mean, if it's just because you want companionship, you got to think about that. I mean, you got to think about what kind of companionship you're willing to take. If it's just sex, that's okay, but you got to think about that too, because sex turns into emotion real quick. So usually it's not just sex. If it is, that's one thing, but you're going to have to compartmentalize, and good luck with that. If this is a really big time roller coaster relationship, you got to really think honestly about why you're in it. If it's causing you a lot of stress and strain and pain, think about it. Why are you in it? The second question that I think is right up there is, do you feel like you're a different person when you're around the significant other? Do you feel different than you normally are? Do you feel like you're not yourself? This is easy breezy questions, and these can be easily defined by you. If you don't feel like yourself, then you got to step back and say, why do I not feel like myself? Do I not feel like I'm able to be myself? Do I not feel like I'm able to be me? You know, in my case, if I was standing back and looking at a relationship that was a roller coaster, am I allowed to be Ashley? Ashley is very gregarious, very funny, very exciting. I make a lot of jokes. I have a lot of fun. I laugh. I laugh like Bert a little bit, like Bert and Ernie. You know, maybe like not Fran Dresser. I heard that, but you know what I'm saying. So if I don't feel like myself, maybe I've changed. Maybe I've changed because of the relationship. Maybe I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. Maybe I feel like every time I come in to say hi or every time we're on a date, I kind of get shot down for my sense of humor, so I get quiet. Maybe I get more quiet. Maybe I get more dramatic. Think about it. Have you changed your core personality to fit in with this person? And the funny thing is that when we do this, we got to keep changing, because that change wasn't right either. Because guess what? They're never going to be happy with you or themselves. So every time you keep morphing your personality to benefit the relationship, think about it. The other person hasn't changed one thing. The other person is still just as narcissistic and self-absorbed as they've always been. And you know what's funny is they're even more self-absorbed. Because guess what? They're getting away with murder. You are on the hook, baby. Even if you're a man or a woman, you're on the hook. You're on the hook, and guess what? You're about to get fried. Because that's what happens. That's what happens in these types of relationships. So think about that. Do you feel like you're a different person? What's keeping you in the relationship? Do you feel as though you are walking on eggshells? Do you feel as though you've lost your sense of self, your sense of humor, your sense of personality, the thing that makes you that thing, that je ne sais quoi, that thing that everybody goes, oh, that's Burgess. Oh, that's just Burgess. That thing. Think about it. You have that thing. What is that thing? And are you covering up that thing, you know, keeping it shrouded, not taking it out because you don't want to what? Because that other person won't accept it. That's what. And because they have so much control over you, right? The control is thick right now. It's as thick as that cold 2-day-old queso. It's thick. It's not good. It's going to do you some harm. Stomach's going to hurt. Something bad's going to happen. And a lot of it is over the stress and strain of this relationship, because it's stressful. There's a lot of stuff going on. You never know what's going to happen next. And last but not least, are you questioning your self-worth? Are you questioning who you are? Are you questioning that you're good enough? Are you questioning your whole presence? And in some of these taxing relationships, you can begin to question everything about yourself, because you're not yourself anymore. You're trying to people please them all the time. You're trying to do whatever you think they want or they need. And in the process, you're losing yourself. You don't want to lose yourself. You want to keep yourself. And there's definitely people out there that you could date, that you could have a relationship, that you could eventually marry, that you don't have to change yourself. Because this is a life, when you're in these types of relationships, that you never stop changing, and eventually you lose yourself and you take on another persona, and later on that person leaves you. They drop you like a ton of bricks, and then you have no idea who you are. And it's almost like an identity change. It's almost like having amnesia. And as you go through the months and the years start, I've had clients that have come in here and it's taken a year and a half to get through a relationship where they lost their identity because they felt like they lost themselves. They couldn't pinpoint who they were. They were depressed. They were upset. They were angry. They self-loathed themselves, when before that relationship, they were in pretty good standing. So remember this. I'm going to be doing more relationship shows about narcissistic behavior as well as borderline personality disorder, and how you can tell the difference and how you can start figuring out what type of situation you're in. Is there hope? Can there be therapy? Or do you need to run for the hills? So stay tuned. Remember to always be yourself. Don't change for anyone. Step up to the plate. You have your own perspective, and someone's going to love you for you without the mind games, without the control, and without the need to always be on top. By the way, if you're dealing with a relationship that's a roller coaster, if you're wondering if your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend is a narcissist or a borderline personality disorder, contact me. Go to AshleyBurgess.com, www.AshleyBurgess.com. Go to the contact page and contact me. Ask me a question. I will respond immediately. As well as I'm taking on new clients for both therapy and coaching. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.